When you were little, did you have something you considered to be a good luck charm? Sometimes people treat God like that. When people seek to use God, it always results in tragedy. Israel thought that the Ark of the Covenant was nothing more than a good luck charm. The Philistines saw it as a trophy of war. Both nations suffered for failing to honor the Lord as the one true God. Stephen Davies' lesson today is called Treating God Like a Lucky Charm.
In 1 Samuel chapter 4, we're going to witness the tragic conclusion to the lives of Eli and his two sons. We're also going to witness God's judgment on Israel because of their rebellion against the Lord. Now, the prophet Samuel has been delivering God's revelation to Israel, but they haven't been listening. Their concern is the Philistine threat, and when the Israelites engage the Philistines in battle, they actually do suffer a devastating defeat. Verse 2 reports that they lost 4,000 soldiers. But I want you to notice the Israelites' response in verse 3. The elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord here from Shiloh, that it may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies." In other words, they recognize their failure. It has something to do with lacking the power of God. So let's go get the Ark, someone suggests. Let's go get that golden box and let's get God on our side. So they're going to take this box, which represents the presence of God, and they're going to treat it like a lucky charm. They're not going to repent before the Lord at all. Now, let me tell you, people to this day use religion like a lucky charm. They're hoping they can get on God's good side in order to succeed in life. Listen, that's just superstition. That has nothing to do with following God. Well, what do the Israelites do? Verse 4, the people sent to Shiloh and brought up from there the Ark of the Covenant. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. This tells us that Hophni and Phinehas offer no objections. In fact, they appear to carry the Ark into the Israelite camp. We read here in verse 5 that as soon as the Ark came into the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout. Well, of course they did. They're jumping up and down for joy, shouting hallelujah. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean God is pleased with what they're doing. Well, the Philistines are close enough to hear this celebration. Verse 7 says, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "A god has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us." Isn't it interesting that the Israelites and the Philistines have the same view of God? The Philistines, they box up their idols and they bring them into battle. Well, now they're fearful because the Israelites evidently brought a box and they've got their god inside. Israel mistakes the symbol of God's presence, the Ark, for the reality of His presence. See, this Ark was only a symbol. It isn't a magic wand or a lucky charm. Well, the outcome of the battle is described here in verse 10. Israel was defeated, and they fled, every man to his home, and there was a very great slaughter, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. And the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Well, meanwhile, Eli is over here at Shiloh, verse 13 says, he's sitting on his seat by the road. He's waiting for the news of the battle. We're told that his heart was troubled for the Ark of God, knowing it's being misused. Well, a soldier who has fled from the battle delivers a fourfold message to Eli. Israel has lost the battle. Many Israelites have died, Eli's two sons are dead, and the Ark has been taken by the Philistines. Verse 18 says, as soon as he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell over backward from his seat by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. He is stunned by this personal loss, but the nation's loss of the Ark, well, that's just too much for Eli. because he knew what it meant. It's as if God was saying, my presence has been absent for years, and now I'm taking away the symbol of my presence as well, the ark. Well, the tragedy doesn't end there. Verse 19 says, now his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant, about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed and gave birth. Her husband was a wicked priest, but she's evidently a godly woman, and this is evident from her deep concern over the loss of the ark, and even in the name she gives to her son as she's dying in childbirth. Verse 21 says, she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. With her last breath, she just puts it all together for the nation. She connects the dots. The meaning of her son's name is going to remind everyone of this day. The glory of God is gone. God judged Israel because they had abandoned him. They treated the ark like a good luck charm. But the Philistines are going to experience God's judgment as well, because they think that, you know, because of their victory and the capture of the ark, that, well, their gods are superior to the true God. So now here in chapter 5, the Philistines place the ark there in their temple, the temple to their chief god Dagon in the city of Ashdod. But verse 3 tells us, the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. Well, the following day, they find their idol again on his face. But this time, his head and hands have been mysteriously cut off. And after that, it just gets worse for the Philistines. Verse 6 says, the hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors. This is also accompanied by a plague of mice or rats, according to chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This perhaps indicates the outbreak of the bubonic plague. You see, the ark isn't a lucky charm at all. In fact, it kind of becomes a hot potato. It's taken to the city of Gath, back here in verse 8 of chapter 5, but the same thing happens again. So they take it away to the city of Ekron, and the plague just follows it to that Philistine city. Well, after 7 months of this, the Philistines gather all their magicians together and try to figure out what to do. Evidently, nobody suggests that what they ought to do is fall down in repentance and worship the God of Israel. But instead, they yoke 2 cows together to pull a cart with the ark on it. Chapter 6 tells us here in verse 4 that they also put on the cart some golden replicas of mice. This is what's called sympathetic magic. In other words, they're hoping that when this ark rolls out of Philistine territory, you know, real mice will follow it out as well. Verse 12 tells us, the cows went straight in the direction of Beth Shemesh. In other words, the cows weren't driven there by anybody. This is the invisible hand of God. Well, tragically, some of these men here are just as pagan as the Philistines, and they treat the ark with disrespect. God puts some of them to death here in verse 19. And just like the Philistines now, the people want the ark taken away from them. Well, now chapter 7 tells us that they take the ark to Kiriath Jearim, where it's finally treated with some reverence. Here in verse 2, we're told that the ark remained some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Well, God's acts of judgment here make a deep impression on the people. They know something's wrong. The ark has returned, but I want you to know it's not in use yet. You see, what God is doing is setting the stage for Israel's national repentance, but that isn't going to happen for another 20 years. You know, sometimes God's work is accomplished quickly. Sometimes he moves slowly. The important thing is that we keep pace with him. We walk with him in obedience and in trust. Well, until our next journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We'd like to help you on your journey with God by providing you with resources to help you grow in your faith. Use the link in our show notes to visit our website and learn more. Just before recording this, I noticed that 12 people from Saudi Arabia logged into our website overnight to access our resources. We're so thankful to our wisdom partners who make that kind of outreach possible. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.